The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before human beings, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The third article of the Creed, continuing the homily series on the Creed. The third article, we say, "Who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary." So the first article, we have looked at God the Father, creator of heaven and earth. The second article, of God, his only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. So we've seen his divinity, and now we see his human nature as he is born of the Virgin Mary. Now with this article, we believe and confess that the same Jesus Christ our Lord, the Son of God, when he assumed human flesh for us, so when he became man in the womb of the Virgin Mary, was not conceived like other men, from the seed of man, but in a manner transcending the whole order of nature by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that the same person, remaining God as he was from eternity, became man, what he was not before. As it is written in St. John's Gospel, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then later on he says, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us." So we see the divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ is united to our humanity. He becomes man. And this means when our Lord becomes man, he does not just make the human soul divine. He's united perfectly with the human nature. So his human nature, body and soul, is united to the Godhead. And so he is perfect God and perfect man. And so we say of the Blessed Virgin Mary that she conceived God and man, and so is properly called the Mother of God and Mother of Man. St. Athanasius wrote a creed, this back in the 4th century, and this helps explain this whole matter. Because, of course, back then there were many heresies, and today we also have many heresies. But we have the Athanasius Creed to help explain what we Catholics believe. It says, "Furthermore, it is necessary to everlasting salvation that he also believe," that's in we Catholics, "also believe faithfully the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the right faith is that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is God and man, God of the substance of the Father, begotten before the worlds, and man of the substance of his mother, born in the world, perfect God and perfect man, of a reasonable soul and human flesh subsisting, equal to the Father according to his Godhead, inferior to the Father according to his manhood, his humanity, who, although he is God and man, yet he is not two, but one Christ, one not by conversion of the Godhead into flesh, but by assumption of the manhood into God. So God, when he became man, he assumed the human nature. He did not reduce himself down, saying, yes, he became man, an act of humility. But he does not become less God. He makes man, and he takes the human nature, the human body and soul, and assumes it. Although one altogether, not confusing the substance, so he's not, the human nature does not get destroyed, and his divine nature does not consume the human nature. He is perfect human, perfect God. Not by confusion of the substance, but unity of person. For as the reasonable soul and flesh is in one man, so God and man is one, Christ. So Christ does not become a demi-human or demi-god or semi-god or semi-human. He is God and man. He's not like, you know, when you hear these pagan stories about pagan gods, they have children with humans, they become half God, half man, like Hercules. That is not what we believe about Christ. Christ is not a Hercules. He's much greater than that. He is God. And regarding the conceptions, the Catechism continues. It says, the conception itself was utterly transcends the order of nature. So also the birth of our Lord. Nothing but divine is present in our contemplation. So when Our Lady conceived by the Holy Spirit, she remained a virgin, she remained pure, she remained perfect. There's no damage or anything, as in her birth. Besides a circumstance wonderful beyond expression or conception, he is born of his mother without any diminution of her maternal virginity. So the Blessed Virgin Mary conceived and gave birth to our Lord Jesus Christ without losing her virginity. And afterwards went forth from, it was not just in the virginity, we see it also our Lord is able to pass through physical objects because he's God. But we see this also when he comes in his resurrection, he leaves the sepulchre, the tomb, without moving the stone. He enters the room, the upper room of the disciples, without opening the door, without the doors being locked. And the Catechism also continues to say, it's like light passing through glass. The sunlight which passes through glass does not damage the glass. And so God entered into the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary and exited without any suffering or pain to the Blessed Virgin. God does not cause her any, which often you'll find the Protestants kind of depict Our Lady suffering a lot from childbirth. But because of her being conceived without sin, and because God is God and loves the Blessed Virgin Mary with a love most perfect, he does not cause her any suffering in the conception and in the birth. This is the work of the Holy Ghost, who in conception and birth of the Son so favored the Virgin Mother as to impart to her fecundity and to preserve her perpetual virginity. So this is what we believe of the second person in his humanity. We'll then see the two other parts of his act of redemption in his death and resurrection. Our faith is very important to us. It makes us what we are, Catholics, Christians, those who follow Christ. And there was a story a priest told me, which I'll tell you. So there's these two men who are walking home in the evening. It was dark, it was rainy, it was cold, maybe not as cold as the Canadian cold weather, but all the same, it was cold. The men were both hungry, tired, and get hungry and tired and cold. So as they were going, as they were walking, one man was heading home. And so he bore with the cold and the wet and the hunger and the tiredness because he knew he was heading home. And he knew that at home it would be nice and warm, there would be dinner, and there's a nice comfy bed which he may rest in. But a second man, he did not know where he was going. He did not know why he was out in the rain, and he was just going from place to place as he saw fit. Shade over here, to place. The priest then says, this is what it means to have faith. To know where we are going. Our life here on earth may be difficult. We might be cold and wet and hungry and tired. But we know we are heading towards God. And God has told us how to live a life. He told us the way to heaven. As our Lord says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So I'm speaking about the creed so that we may know the creed and we know what we believe. But we know we are following Christ. We are walking towards Him. If we did not know Christ, if we did not have scriptures, if we did not have the church, we would be living, going from left to right, from shelter to food or whatever it may be. But we would not know where we were going. And there is that question, why are we here? And what's the purpose of life? We as Christians know. We are here because God has created us, and we know that the purpose of life is to love, to serve, and to know, to love, and to serve God, by which we may live with Him for all eternity. May the Blessed Virgin Mary help us to grow in faith, and may she guide us towards her Son, our Redeemer, our salvation, our hope. May the Blessed Virgin Mary intercede on our behalf and obtain for us the many graces we need. May she guide us and protect us. Mary, conceived without the stain of sin, pray for us who are coarse unto thee. Let us renew our profession of faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,